Okay, let's begin now. We're up to Perek Lamed. We're up to Perek Lamed Beis. Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Vav. Okay, the pasuk says. Now we begin the Maisa with Hananel. Vayomer Yirmiyahu. Vayomer Yirmiyahu. Hoya Dvar Hashem Elai Lemar. Yirmiyahu says the following thing. The word of Hashem was to me Lemar. Hinei. Hashem told Yirmiyah that something is going to happen. You're going to receive a visitor. Hinei Chanam, Chanamel. Now, what I told you yesterday was not 100% accurate. I told you yesterday over here in the previous story was Chananel. Here it's Chanamel. Okay, so it's not, what I told you yesterday was not accurate, that the marker, the landmark, was referring to this Maisa. Okay, I'm not going back and telling what I said, there is a similarity. You can't say there's not. The word Chananel and Chanamel is not entirely different, but just keep in mind that what I told you was not 100% accurate. Okay, but yet, Hinei Chananel ben Shalom. What? This is right. This is the Haftorah of Bahar. Why is this the Haftorah of Bahar? Because Bahar discusses Eretz Yisrael. Bahar discusses the laws of Shvis. The law, Bahar is the laws of Shemitah and the laws of Yovel. It's the proper relationship to the land. The reason why Golus, the reason why Klal Yisrael was sent into Golus was because they did not keep Shemitah. That's one of the primary reasons the Chazal give for the cause of Golus. Okay, we'll come back to that later on, but it's a very good point. Make keep that in mind that this indeed is after Parshas Bahar. Behold, you're going to receive a visitor, and the visitor is none other than your uncle. And your uncle's name is Chanamel ben Shalom, Dodecha, your uncle. An uncle can be either a brother from the mother or a brother from the father. However, Rashi is going to say something very interesting that we do not find anywhere in the entire Tanakh the word Dod being used in reference to the brother, at least for an individual, the word Dod in reference to the brother of a mother. Okay, so the word Dodcha, the Torah, when it talks about Arayos, it says the brother of your mother, the brother of your father. But the word Dod is never used in Tanakh in reference to the brother of a mother. That's an important point we'll come to in a moment. Only in regard to the brother of a father. So Dodcha, your uncle, Boylech, will come to you later, will come to you and make the following statement. I want you to purchase my field in Anosos. Chanamel is claiming that he is going bankrupt and he has to liquidate his assets. And the first thing to go is his ancestral field. And this is the parasha, this is the law of Geula. Gula Salem Tielo. There's halacha in Parshas, I think it's Matos, Maseh. I don't remember. But the halach is the person sells his land, the first one that has rights to purchase the land is the closest relative. And indeed, even if he sells the land to a stranger, the one who has rights to force the stranger to relinquish the land, in other words, to sell it, is also the closest relative. So here, the uncle here is telling you, Chanamel is telling Yirmiyah, I'm going bankrupt, I'm liquidating my assets, and therefore I know that you are a rich man. I guess Yirmiyah was independently wealthy. We don't know exactly where from. Where did Yirmiyah acquire? Yirmiyah was a prophet. Prophets was not a profitable business. Being a prophet, it's a non-profit business. So where exactly did Yirmiyah have money to purchase the land? That's a big mystery. But this field, Asher ba'anosos, ki l'cho mishpat ha'gul, because it is for you, you are the closest relative, and therefore you should purchase the land. Vayavo elai, pasik ches, vayavo elai, and indeed, exactly as what Yirmiyah predicted, he told over the people who were in the prison with him, and the officers who were guarding him in prison, he told them what's going to happen. Vayavo elai, Chanamel ben Dodi. Now here, notice, look at the discrepancy. Here it says, Chanamel, the son of my uncle. We first start out, and the prophecy was that Chanamel Dodecha, your uncle, is going to come to you. And here, when it actually happened, it says that Chanamel, it was his cousin that came to purchase. This is a discrepancy which has to be taken into account, and then we'll see in the Mefarshim how they deal with this discrepancy. So, Vayavo Chanamel ben Dodi Kedvar Hashem. exactly as Hashem said. Maybe the word Kedvar Hashem is coming to point out that even though we said before it was Doidcha, and here it says Ben Dodi, make no mistake, it's exactly the way it is. It's the Kedvar Hashem. El Chatzar HaMatar, he came into the prison, into the dungeon. Vayomer Eli, I guess they allowed visitors. It's not so easy to get visitation rights today to people in prison. But I guess in those days they let people come and visit them in the dungeon. Vayomer Eli, Kinei no esodi asher bo anosos, purchase please the field, asher bo anosos, asher bi eretz binyamin, that is in the land of Binyamin. Ki l'cho mishpat ha-yerusha, to you is the law of Yerusha, u'l'cho ha-ge'ula, and to you is ge'ula, redemption, k'nei l'och, acquire it, v'eida, and when that happened, I knew ki dvar Hashem hu. And now these words are going back on Yirmiyah, and when this happened, so I knew retroactively that it was the word of Hashem. Now that's a lot of bizarre things taking place in these three psukim. First of all, notice there are many discrepancies. When Yirmiyah made the prediction, when Hashem spoke to Yirmiyah, Hashem said to Yirmiyah, "Ki l'cho mishpat ha-ge'ula." When Hanamel arrives, besides being called the Ben Dodo, and not the Ben Dodi, and not the Dodcha, not the Dod. Notice also that it doesn't say Gul, it says Mishpat HaYerusha U'lecho HaGeula K'neilach. It's more than just Geula, there's also Yerusha. Okay, so what exactly is the difference between to you is the laws of Yerusha, u'lecho ha-ge'ula. He's adding, he's injecting more than what Hashem told Yirmiyah would happen. Okay, furthermore, the location is much more specific. When Hashem spoke to Yirmiyah, all Hashem told Yirmiyah was that your dod is going to come and mention the field. Here, when the ben dodi comes, he mentions the sadi, asher ba'anosos, he tells the city, and he tells you the region, asher bi'eretz binyamin, he tells you the region as well. So we have over here a lot of discrepancies. Yet it says, Vo'eda, I'm just throwing out ideas, I don't have the answers. I saw these questions also in the Mam Lois. I don't really have a grasp on the answer, but maybe by discussing this with you, we can come up with some ideas. And then, what's going on here? Vo'eda ki Dvar Hashem. Then all of a sudden I knew it was Dvar Hashem. What do you mean all of a sudden I knew? Doesn't it say in the beginning of the Pasuk, Vayomer Yirmiyahu Pasuk Vav, Hoya Dvar Hashem Eli Lamar? Didn't Yirmiyah have experience as a prophet? I think Mepharshim pointed out that this is the 12th prophecy of Sefer Yirmiyah. So Yirmiyah had quite a lot of experience with prophecies. So all of a sudden, Hashem speaks to him. This is what Hashem told me. And then when it actually happens, ah, ve'eda ki dvar Hashem hu. Now, simple answer is, ein doime shmiya l'ri'ya. Okay, that's a very simple answer. That HaKadosh Baruch can speak to you, and Hashem can predict things to you, but a human being is still a human being. And there is always something that gets lost in the koyach of transmission. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to a human being, Hashem speaks, Hashem tells you what's going to happen in the future. Do you really believe it? Do you really have emunah? Does it really say, well, if you're here, we're dealing with the greatest of the great. Yirmiyah HaNavi. Mi lanu gadol mi Yirmiyah HaNavi. And yet, but Yirmiyah HaNavi is also a human being. Moshe Rabbeinu had a maila asbak maria hami'ira. Okay, Yeshai also had that madrega to some degree. Bilam. But I'm just throwing out an idea that even though Yirmiyah, hoya dvar Hashem elai lemar, but when the prophecy comes true, and then you reflect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this prediction, now it's a whole different league. It's vo'edah. Now I achieved a profound, profound understanding of the true meaning of prophecy. Yes?
Maybe it seems so improbable.
All these, that it would happen.
Because it wasn't exactly the time for real estate speculation.
Someone told me a story on Shabbos. I still don't believe the story, but he almost like swears on his soul that the story is true. The story is true. He has a son, came back from Eretz Yisrael, and he's putting him now in Lakewood. He's sending him to learn in Lakewood for this man. So he told the son, "Listen here, my son, I'm sending you here to learn. I'm not sending you here for shidduchim. No shidduchim. He's going here to learn. If someone comes to you, you give them my number. Let them call me your father. Okay. So he said, you know, I know what's going to happen. You're going to come there, and all of a sudden you're going to hear they're going to send you a girl. He says, and the prophet says, a girl from South America who happens the family is living now in Beit Shemesh. I'm sending you, because you're going to come there, you're going to sit down the first day, someone's going to come, oh, I got a girl from you, a girl from South Africa, who the family lives in Beit Shemesh.
He should be in the freezing, just
arriving. I don't know all the rules. So he says, he comes there to Lakewood, his son comes to Lakewood, he sits down there in Lakewood, and lo and behold, a guy comes over to him and says to him, I have a shidduch for you, a girl from South Africa, whose family now lives in Beit Shemesh. And he, the father of the child, Kemat, swears he just said this, just like he just said it. He just like as the way of emphasizing to his son. What are the chances that son will come over to him and say such a thing? Okay, he didn't take him up with the sheikh anyway, so it doesn't have a happy ending anyway. Okay, but the point over here is when
a happy ending.
That he didn't take him up on the sheikh, he didn't go forward. Okay, there is definitely over here some information here that there is a deeper appreciation of Nevuah when you see it happen, even if you are on the Madrega of Yirmiyah HaNavi and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you exactly what's going to happen. Hashem speaks to you, you hear what Hashem says, but when you see it come to fruition, when you see it come full, wow! Now you really appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to you a prophecy retroactively l'mafreya. That's, I think, one interpretation. Okay, now, or we can say, now I have to fill in the gaps, is that when the added details in what happened elaborate that it was truly a nevuah. In other words, I'm not fully there because there are the discrepancies. The person that came was not Dodcha, it was not his uncle, and it was only with regard to the Mishpat of Geula, and here this person who's Ben Dodcha comes in regard to the Mishpat of the Yerusha Ulecha HaGeula, also specifying this location, the Sadiya Sherbanos Shabiyaretz Bin Yamin. So maybe Yirmi was skeptical because there was too little information. Now with the additional information, somehow that opened up the possibility of what it meant for. I'm just throwing out an idea, maybe it has to be further clarified.
So if the uncle died,
so you want to say it's Yerusha. Yerusha. You want to say an idea. No one says this is that. The reason why it's Yerusha, because since the uncle died, it was the son. So the son now is called, it's called the Yerusha. It's not just I'm the Geula, because we're dealing over here with a generation, one generation further. Hey, you can come sit over here. Come, over here, in your old seat. Welcome back. Good morning, how are you? I didn't get a chance to do yesterday. You were here yesterday. Okay. If you want, you can come closer. Okay. Let's see over here the Mefarshim. Let's start with Mitzvot of Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav, Hoyi Devar Hashem, Hu Choy Zilamalo, Loi Marash, Zeh HaDevar Shehoyi, El Yemiyo B'Shnasu, HaSiris. We're now going back to the beginning of the Perek. In the beginning of the parak, we mentioned that we were returning because we got sidetracked. Pasuk Aleph of Perek Lamed Beis begins Hadavar Asher Hayo El Yirmiyahu Meis Hashem B'Shnas Bashana HaAsiris LeTzidkiyo Melech Yehuda Hi Hashana Hashmon Esrei L'Shon L'Netzar. And then we got sidetracked with Pasuk Beis V'Oz Cheldu, the siege. So now after we finish getting sidetracked, we want to return where we came back from Pasuk Aleph. That's why Nochamol Vayom Yirmiyahu Hayo Devar Hashem Elaylem. This is very common in Navi, where we begin with a statement and we get sidetracked, and then later when we return to the narrative, we have to once again return to some of the key words. So again, the mitzudos who choiz lemalo loy mashem no davar shahoy el yemio b'shana asiris v'avur sharuchay hadvarim b'sipar hamotzar v'sibas kalias yemio. And because we got sidetracked discussing the cause, the siege, and the cause of Yirmiyah being put in prison, choiz loy mashuv hoy davar Hashem elai. Okay, next. Doitcha, choizer hu al shalom. Aha. So here, the Mitzudos is coming into the discrepancy. Everyone has their own idea to enter the discrepancy. That when it says your uncle is Shalom, not Hanamel. Hanamel is your cousin. And that will answer the discrepancy when the son comes.
You just have to know where the placement, because of the placement.
Right.
Which
don't,
one is it?
Which one is it? So maybe that was what was confusing to Yirmiyah.
Either way.
Maybe. So this I was trying to bring up before, and then the second answer why now I knew it was Dvar Hashem. Maybe Yirmiyah, when Yirmiyah first heard these words, and this is all speculation. When Yirmiyah first heard Hashem giving the prophecy, maybe Yirmiyah thought this can't be prophecy, because you hear prophecy in a dream, and if there's nonsense, then obviously there's something wrong. Maybe it's not true prophecy. Yirmiyah noted that it doesn't make any sense, because Hanamel is not my uncle. Hanamel is my cousin. So when Hashem said to me, your uncle Hanamel is coming, I was skeptical. Is this really a prophecy? A prophecy is perfect. If it's a dream, then ein chaloyim b'loy dvarim b'talim. But now when I see that it was... Now when I see that was Hanamel, my ben dodi came, and he said the word Yerusha, okay, as Dr. Friedman said, Yerusha, so now I first understood that when Hashem said to me, Dodcha, it was referring to Shalom. So Yirmiyah, he was confused. He thought Dodcha refers to Hanamel, which then doesn't make sense. So this can't be a prophecy. But when I saw all the pieces come together, and now I realize when Hashem said Dodcha is going back on Shalom, everything now makes perfectly logical sense, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and now indeed I understand what the prophecy is. This indeed is a mashal of all prophecies, because all prophecies are sasim. We don't understand. We go through Yeshayah, we go through Yirmiyah, we go through all these different sermons, we go through these prophecies, and all these prophecies, they say words, and they say concepts, which to us doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But when the prophecy 1,000 years later unfolds, and we see what happens, now we can first understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu meant 1,000 years ago in the words of the prophecy. We also can say, now Vo'edah, Eidah over here doesn't mean that I knew. Of course I knew it was a prophecy. I now understood the truer meaning of the prophecy. Okay, this is a different approach than the first answer we gave. Next. So he's coming to greet you. Because to you is the mishpat of gula liknois. Al kiata koroiv elai. Because you are my closest relative. The law is that you have an obligation to redeem the field. That no one else should acquire it. The liknois ato isa. You are required by law to purchase the field when your close relative goes bankrupt. Ki kein hoya mishpaton. And where else do we find this? We find this in reference to Boaz, the birth of Mashiach. The birth of Mashiach was also exactly Moshekas v'boyaz v'yom l'goyel l'chelkat asodeh im tigal go'ol. Now over here the Mitzudos is alluding to something very, very deep. The beginning of Geula, the first Geula for Klal Yisrael, the Shoresh of the birth of Mashiach, Rus HaMoviah, came about through a process of Geula, of redeeming a field. The one that redeems the field is also entitled to marry Rus. Boaz approached the closest relative, Pliny Almoni. He asked him, you purchase the closest, you're the closest relative, purchase the field from Naomi, the field that once belonged to Naomi, from her husband. Who was the husband? I forgot, what was her husband's name? Naomi's husband?
Who was it?
What? Elimelech, from Elimelech, who purchased the land. And here we're discussing the Goyal Acharon. We're discussing now a Maisa. This whole event that I'm discussing over here is they're about to leave Eretz Yisrael to go into Golus, and it expresses the Emuna of Geula that will come, that there will be a Geula. So both the very beginning, the first Goyal, and here the foundation of the Emuna in the Goyal Acharon, in the end Geula, are all done through a process of redeeming a field, an ancestral field from the closest relative. Pasuk Ches, Ki Dvar Hashem Kasher Amar Li Hashem, like Hashem said to me, Mishpat HaYerusha, Ratzo Loima, Ho'el Tzitzvei Enlucho Karim Choyu on the close relative, Yata Roy L'Reshes Oysa, and it is fitting for you to possess it, L'chein therefore Ga'al Oysa L'Baal Tova L'Deachem, therefore you should purchase it, and someone else should not purchase it, V'Kenei Oysa, and it repeats himself, and therefore I ask you to purchase the land. V'Eidah, Okay, so here was the point that we made before. I gave you two interpretations. The Mitzuda says, Rav Sulaimar, Hiskalti bedaiti, asher devar Hashem hu liknois be'emes. It's indeed Hashem's will that I buy the land. Now he's saying an entirely different idea than what I told you. And what he means to say over here is, this way they explain in the art scroll, what he means to say is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yirmiyah originally, Hanamel ben Shalom is going to come to you, and he's going to say, "Knei l'cho es sodi asher bo anosos, hilcho mishpat hagul liknos." Was Hashem giving Yirmiyah instructions to buy it? Maybe Hashem was just telling Yirmiyah, "I'm going to show you an ois that someone's going to offer you a great deal, but it doesn't mean you have to buy it. I want to tell you there's something that's going to happen. There's a significant fact. There's something significant in the fact that a person is coming to you to sell his field. But you don't have to buy it. Adarab, why would you want to buy a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael when you're the one who has been predicting to the entire Klal Yisrael that the whole Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed and the piece of land is going to be worthless? Maybe, in fact, Hashem B'davka does not want you to buy the land to show everyone, look at this, I have a great deal. My relative is going bankrupt. He's giving it away at half price. I have first rights. It's a great deal. But you know what? I'm not going to buy it because I know that it's worthless. So everyone who is standing around is shocked. What do you mean it's worthless? We live in the most vibrant economy of the world, Eretz Yisrael. There's not going to be a Chorban. All of the false prophets are telling everyone nothing to worry about. Everything is fine and good. We have allies. We have Mitzrayim. We have other nations. They're going to come to our defense in case Nebuchadnezzar makes trouble for us, even though there is a siege. So, Yirmiyah, you got to be out of your mind. You have over here a great deal, 50% off. You're not going to go buy the land. Anyone would run to buy the land. But maybe Hashem was telling Yirmiyah, I want you to make a point and show people, put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your mouth is. Don't buy the land. Don't buy the land, and that will be a very big statement which will terrify the people. He's not willing to buy it. That means he really believes that the Churban is imminent, and the land's not going to be worth even one penny. So that's what Yirmiyah possibly thought. The Mitzuda says, V'edah, I then understood ki devar Hashem hu. The devar Hashem is no. Hashem is telling you that he's coming. He wants to buy, and Hashem wants you to buy the land.
What has changed here?
The devil is in the detail. The devil is in the detail, exactly, because now you have to work backwards. What is there different in the details that would indicate now that Hashem indeed wants Yirmiyah to buy? So one word, Dr. Friedman said, is Yerusha. I don't know exactly how that changes the equation, but that's what the Mitzvah seems to be saying. Look again at the very important words. The words of the Mitzvah are Vo'edah, Rotzolaymar, Hiskalti Bedaiti. I now understood Asher Dvar Hashem Hu Liknoisa Be'emes. Hashem indeed wants me to purchase the land, not just I should hear the offer and reject it. That would be a lesson also. But if I'm being told to buy the land, now Hashem wants me to buy it. Dearly, Hadav Hashem told me this matter. And where do you see that indication? So again, I'm suggesting maybe because it says the word Yerusha. Yerusha means, the word Yerusha maybe means it's your property. If you just say Geula, it means a redemption. But the word Yerusha maybe has a connotation of something more powerful, more personal. I don't know. Okay, let's see what it says over in Rashi. Rashi Pasik. Right. Maybe that means you have no choice. Once you say the word Yerusha, you have no choice in this matter. It's your inheritance. It's your legacy. So if you just say Geula, so do me a favor, redeem it. I don't want to redeem it. Yerusha, it has to remain in the family whether you like it or not. So you have no choice. And if I understood, this must be done. Okay, let's see Pasuk Vav in Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayomer Yirmiyahu loy litzidki amar kein." Now, when Yirmiyah makes the statement of Pasuk Vav, he's not speaking to Tzidkiyah. Don't be confused. In the previous psukim, we learned that Yirmiyah spoke to Tzidkiyahu very harsh words. That you're going to go down to Babel, you're going to be captured by Nebuchadnezzar, by the Kastim, and your eyes will see the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar, your peh will speak to the peh. So you may be confused and think that when it says over here, Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu is speaking to Tzidkiyahu. That's incorrect. We're going back like what the Mitzuda says to Pasuk Aleph, we're discussing the thing that he said to the people that were his guards in the prison. Once the pasuk explained why he was in prison, interesting that prison guards are very significant people. Prison guards, they're the ones over here that are the recipients of this major prophecy. Now, we would normally associate a prison guard as what? Minimum wage labor. Right, we don't consider, but you have all of a Chazal, the executioners and the guards. They're the ones who are witness to some of the great events, the great righteousness of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, the Asar Rogei Malchus, and all different. And who are these people? These are the people who reported, made the impact upon them, and it's recorded for posterity what happened. So the people who were the guards obviously were not such simple people if they were selected to be there when Yirmiyah told them that this very critical prophecy. Okay, boy lecha, he's going to come to you al pi hadibur. Now this means Hananel was a Navi. He was an equal Navi to Yirmiyahu. Why is Hananel going to come to you? It just stam. Hananel is an ordinary person, and just on his own. Rashi adds that he's coming to you. He himself is a prophecy. If I'm not mistaken, I don't see it over here, but there's a tradition. Every time it says a name and it says their father's name, it always indicates that they were prophets. Sometimes in Tanakh you have people who just mentions their name, does not mention their father. And that's not always true. Shechem ben Hamor. I don't believe Shechem ben Hamor was a prophet. Okay, he raped Dina. But he's called Shechem ben Hamor.
No, but it's the other way around. When a Navi is mentioned,
yeah,
the general rule is, yeah, his father was a Navi.
His father was a Navi. When they say them both. Okay, so where is Rashi getting the fact that Hananel, it mentions this also I saw this either in the article, the Mamloa, is that Hananel, when he comes, Hananel didn't just come by accident. Hananel was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come. So it's a very interesting idea because it's the meeting of two prophets. Okay, in Tanakh, think about this. In Tanakh, whenever you have a prophecy, Ruba de Ruba, there's only one prophet. And the prophet is being told some event is going to happen. Even talk about Shmuel and Shaul. Someone's lost, someone's going to arrive in a certain place. Even people, they're going to come. The objects or the people that are part of the prophecy, they're not prophets. They just happen. This is an event that is going to happen. Either an event in the Shemayim, it's going to rain, it's not going to rain, the stars, the sun's going to stop, not going to stop, so on and so forth, or an event's going to happen. Here, you need two prophets to coordinate. Hashem is speaking to Prophet A, Hashem is speaking to Prophet B, and Hashem is telling this prophet to go, and this prophet is being made aware that this prophet is coming. How often in Tanakh do you have something like that? Two prophecies, there are two separate acts of prophecy which are being coordinated.
I don't understand why it has to be that way.
Hananel did not just come.
Can Hananel be simply divinely inspired without prophecy?
No, that's what we would think. If not for this Rashi, Rashi is drawing this from a Chazal, which I don't remember where, but I saw this somewhere, one of the commentators, is that Hananel himself was a prophet. And Hananel had better things to do on this day. He had better things to do with his time than to go declare bankruptcy and look for his close relative to buy his field. Hashem came to Hananel in a vision and said to him, Hananel, I want you to declare bankruptcy and I want you to go visit your nephew, Yirmiyahu, or your cousin Yirmiyahu, and tell him to buy the land. Yirmiyahu, at the same time that Hashem is speaking to Hanamel, Hashem is speaking to Yirmiyahu and telling Yirmiyahu, guess what? Your cousin is coming to you, and he's going to tell you about the land, and based on, and you'll figure out that I want you, I'm giving you a directive to buy the land. Now, I feel, I don't know Tanakh, but from the little bit that I sense, is that this type of prophecy is either totally unique or very rare, where you have two prophecies that are being coordinated to happen at the same time. And the reason why this is so significant is because, as we mentioned many times, this perek is probably the most significant perek in the entire Sefer of Yirmiyah, where Yirmiyah is doing something, is expressing a prophecy, which is the foundation of the Emunah that B'vias HaMashiach V'Aval Pi Sheyisma Me'ayim Kol Zechak Alo B'Chol Yom Sheyavo. This is very fundamental. And this fundamental, every single little detail about this fundamental theme of Emunah in the ultimate Gula has great weight and great significance in these Pesukim. So I just want to make that note. Okay, let's go now further in the commentators. We're up to, let's see, we're up now to the Radak. Radak Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Hanamel ben Shalom doidcha, Shalom hoye doid Yirmiyahu. Now here, Radak begins with, no wait, did I finish this? No, we're up to, we didn't get up to, okay, fine, we'll do that later. We're not finished yet with the doid. We'll come to the doid later. Okay, let's see, Pasuk Vav in the Radak, Vayomer Yirmiyahu, Hanamel ben Shalom doidcha, Shalom hoye doid Yirmiyahu, Shalom was Shalom, so Shalom was the doid of Yirmiyahu, Achei Aviv. Okay, so he was a brother of his father, Yirmiyah, and Shalom, Yirmiyah's father, and Hanamel's father were brothers. Kama Shoimer Hanamel ben Shalom doidcha boilai, Shechut shach limkar sodev, this person, he needs to sell his field. And he's going to ask you to purchase the field. Mishpat ha-gu'ula. This is the law of gula. Imechartiv la'acher. In other words, let's say Hanamel sells the field to Ploini Almoini, to any average person out there in the world. Then what is the halacha? The law is that you, the closest relative, has an obligation to go to Ploini Almoini and to buy it in order to keep the field in the family. So therefore, why should we go and go through multiple steps? Anyway, you are going to eventually have to buy the land back, so we might as well do a direct sale. We'll save the broker's fees. You buy the field directly from me. Pasuk Cheske Dvar Hashem, Kamoish Amar Hashem, Sheyovo Yelai. Happened exactly, Kain Asa, exactly what Hashem predicted, so it happened. Ki Dvar Hashem Hu. And then when this happened, so then he realized indeed it was the Dvar Hashem. What does that mean? Yodati, Ki Mi Hashem Hu Sheeknehu. He says the same thing that the Mitzvah says, that when this happened, he realized that it was Hashem's will, not that I should listen and reject the offer, but I should take advantage of the offer and I should purchase it. Ki im lo hoye mi'itoi lama omar elai sheyove chanamel elai limkar sadeu. Okay, he's not really explaining very much what changed, but he does seem to mention that Yirmiyah at first was in doubt, and then when it actually happened, it was clear in his mind that Hashem indeed wants him to purchase it. We gave the answer, maybe it's because of the word Yerusha. The Yesh Mefarshim ki Hanamel bo al pi hadibor li Yirmiyahu. Okay, that's exactly what Rashi said, that Hanamel did not just come by himself, Hanamel came al pi hadibor. Now, where do you see that in the Pasuk? I don't know where you see them. I told you because they have the name and his father's name. Hanamel, maybe Hinei. I don't know where you see it in the pasuk, but this is what Rashi says is Alpi Hadibor. Maybe what Mitzudas and Rashi means is that what he means is that since Hanamel came to him also Alpi Nevuah, that is what changed the mind of Yirmiyah to actually buy it. If Hanamel ben Shalom would come to Yirmiyah on his own, He was just an ordinary person. He was not a prophet who would come on his own and say, I'm declaring bankruptcy. I want to sell liquid to my assets. I want to go give you the property. Then Yirmiyahu would say, Mistama, Hashem wants me to hear about the offer and to reject it, to make a statement. But now that I'm aware that you, my cousin, are a prophet just like me, and Hashem sent you, said this offer is not an ordinary offer. This is a divine offer. And that changes my attitude that I have to indeed purchase the property.
If we don't take that premise, right, then just coming forward with a field for sale, what would that symbolize if he were not?
So we said, we explained.
Would be the message?
So we explained that. We explained that at great length. The message was, Yirmiyahu is putting his money where his mouth is.
If weren't a message to buy,
yes.
If we were a message that a field is available and he has a choice rather than...
And what does he do? And he rejects it. We explained this before. The simple thing for Yirmiyahu to do would be reject the offer.
And send what message?
The message is that the field is worthless. Because in a year from now, in a very short time, the entire Eretz Yisrael is going to be destroyed.
Right, but that's not the message being conveyed here.
No, he changed his mind. It's clear, according to all the commentators, according to Mesudas and according to the Radak, is that Yirmiyahu originally planned to reject the offer. And what would be the message? The message is, everyone else is a believer in the false prophets. The false prophets are telling the people that there's not going to be a Chorban. And therefore the price of real estate is going to go up, 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 up. And therefore now that this person is declaring bankruptcy, he's giving away his land at a very great discount. So it's a great deal. You have to be a fool not to go and buy the property. And what is Yirmiyahu planning to do? That's only a great deal if you believe in the false prophets, that it's not going to be a Chorban. But if you believe in me, that there is going to be a Chorban, then is the land worth anything? It's worth nothing.
But he does.
Why does he do? So now he does the opposite, and he tells the people, he tells you, I'm doing the opposite, even though I know the land is going to be worth nothing, but in 70 years... That's the ultimate message. But that's a novel message. That's a message that requires even emuna to understand what that message is. But at the face value, the simple message would be to reject the sale. Okay, so Sach HaKol, we really went through four different interpretations. I think it's a very important point to review. We went through four interpretations of what it means, vo'eda. He begins by saying, I have a message. And the end of the pasuk says, vo'eda ki dvar Hashem hu. Four interpretations as to what this means. Number one, Eine doime shmiya liriya. Number two, Vo'eda ki dvar Hashem hu. He was confused. The message at face value did not make sense. And one example, Hashem says, your uncle Hanamel. Yirmiyahu said, Hanamel is not my uncle. Hanamel is my cousin. So this must be that it's not a prophecy. Maybe really, I doubt, it's a dream. But then when he said the word Yerusha, okay, the word Yerusha, which means Yerusha, and he didn't say anything, so that triggered, didn't just say Gula, said Yerusha, which the next generation, that somehow triggered, oh, now I understand when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Doitcha, Doitcha is going on your uncle Shalom, your cousin Hanamel, the son of your uncle Shalom. Third interpretation of the Mitsudos is that the change was originally he did not want to purchase. He was planning not to purchase, and there was some detail. Okay, we said Dr. Friedman is the word Yerusha. The word Yerusha is what triggered the change that indeed he should purchase it and not ignore it. And the further interpretation is what triggered the change? The fact that he was aware that Hanamel only came to visit because Hanamel was told to come through prophecy, not that Stam Hanamel came on his own. Okay, so that's the four different mahalchim in this pasuk. Now let's go further into the next pasuk. Okay, pasuk test. We're up to pasuk test. Now indeed I went forward, I purchased the field from Me'es Hanamel ben Dodi, from Hanamel the son of my uncle, Asher Bo'anosos, V'eshgalo lo esakesef. I paid him the money. How much money? Shiva shekalim, 7 coins. V'asara kesef and 10 silver coins. So a shekel has 4 coins. So a shekel, so since over here we have 24, I'm confused. 28 plus another 10, 38. Total of 38. Okay, so it's total of 38. 7 times 4 is 28. Shiva shekalim. A shekel is 4. Right, so it's 28. 7, and then vasara kesef, another 10 coins. So a total of 38 coins were given to pay for this field, which appears to be the market value. Whatever the market was, he paid the full price. Okay, pasuk yud. Now that was not enough. So I gave him the money. I gave him the full amount of money. Vo'echtoim ba'sefer. I wrote the transaction in the document. Vo'echtoim and the document. Morning. Vo'echtoim and the document was sealed. Vo'eid edim. I signed witnesses. Vo'eshkol hakesef b'moznoim. And I weighed the coins on the scales. Everything was to the dot. It was 100% legal with all the rules and regulations. Next. Vo'ekach. I took as a sefer hamikna. I took the actual document that was used to make the transaction. Esechosum, the sale. Esechosum, the one that has been sealed. Now we'll explain what all this means. Hamitzvah v'hakukim, the regulations, the terms and conditions. V'eshagolui, and the document that was exposed. Now let me just tell you, outside the Radak says there were 3 documents. There was the real document. The real document was sealed. It was sealed like, with clay, with whatever they used, so they should not be open in order to preserve the document, the authenticity of the document. Now the problem is, if you take a document and you seal it with wax and to make sure it's preserved, no one knows what it says inside. So what they would do in ancient times was there would be a duplicate, and the duplicate you would basically trust that what's written in the duplicate is exactly what's written on the real document. And if push comes to shove, someone comes to question exactly what it says, then they would have no choice to open up the real document. But they did not want to open up the real document for no good reason, because it affects it could affect the authenticity of the document. So they always had a carbon copy of the document that was called the Golui. The real document was called the Chasum. And the document which told you a synopsis of what it says inside, what was called the Galui. And then there was a third document which had the rules, regulations, terms, and conditions. Okay, like you go and you ever go think of get a car lease, you have to sign 50 documents, right? So what are all these things that you're not responsible for this and this and this and this, and you're not going to sue them, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. You go to a doctor's office, Rahman al-Sultan, you have to sign a million documents, a million things. So there was the third document which had all of the terms, conditions, rules, and regulations of the transaction. That's the third. So the Radak says there was a grand total of 3 documents that were transferred from the seller to the buyer. Okay, let's go further. Now, who did Yirmiyah give the Sefer HaMikneh? The fact that he purchased this field, El Baruch ben Neriah, ben Machseya, a very famous person in Tanakh, Baruch ben Neriah. Why? Because Yirmiyah knew that Klal Yisrael is not going to come back to Eretz Yisrael for at least 70 years. And Yirmiyah suspected that he would not be alive at that point in time. He would already have died at that point in time. So who then is going to be the guardian of the document until the time when Mashiach comes? So he gave it to a young man. And this young man was Baruch ben Neriah. He was the scribe of Yirmiyah. He was Yirmiyah's loyal Talmud. And Yirmiyah had confidence that Baruch ben Neriah would be alive at the time of the ultimate Geula. That's pretty good. Someone can give you a guarantee that you'll be alive in 70 years from now. That's a pretty nice bracha. Le'enei Chananel Bodi, he gave the Baruch ben Neriah ben Machseya, and then Le'enei in the presence of Chananel Dodi, Chananel my uncle. Now notice the discrepancy. All of a sudden we're switching from Chananel. Until now, Rashi and the Mitzudas taught us that the word Dodi refers to who? Shalom. And now, and that's why when it says Chananel alone, it calls him the Ben Dodi. But here it says Hanamel and does not mention Shalom, yet it refers to Hanamel, with the term Dodi and not the Ben Dodi. So we got a problem. So that problem will be addressed by Rashi. Uleineho Edim in front of the witness, Alkaisim Sefer HaMikneh, which wrote the Sefer HaMikneh. Leine Kol HaYehudim HaYoshim B'Chatzar HaMatorah. All of the Jews that were sitting in the Chatzar HaMatorah, I guess was a good place to hang out by the dungeon. V'atzaveh Es Baruch Leinehem Leimar, and I commanded Baruch in front of them saying, Koyim Hashem Tzvokos L'Kei Yisrael L'Koyach Teik Es HaSforim O'Eleh A Sefer HaMikneh HaZeh, the sefer that's used for the transaction, the Eisei Chosum, and the sefer that is sealed, okay, the one that has the sefer HaGolui, HaZeh, okay, I'm not sure, we have to see exactly how we're going to translate the words over here in this pasuk, Unisatom B'chli Cheres, Leman Yamdu Yomim Rabim. And I want you to put this away for many, many days, put this in a safe place, in the Chli Cheres, so that it should last for many, many days, because this is going to be a prediction, this is going to be an act of emunah, faith, that the geula will come in the future time. Now let's go back and look, we all took him inside, in the Mepharshim, starting back with Pasuk Tes in the Mitzudot Stavit. For Eshkola, the first thing that Yirmiyah did was he paid, he counted out money. Mosarti loy b'mishkola b'mishkola es ha-kesef l'chir ha-sodeh. I gave over the coins. V'hoyu b'mispar shiv shiva shkolim. The number of coins was 7 coins. Ritzon loymar shiva monim. K'nam Rav Sinu Zohar Levracha. 7 monim. Now mon, I made a mistake. I told you it was 28 coins. It says a shekel. It's the money is 100 coins. There are different types of coins, so I'm not off the mark. But a shekel, he's saying over here has one a money. A money, I believe, is a hundred copper coins. That's 700 copper coins. The asara kesef, asara siloim, at silver, 10 silver coins. Kain tirgum yoinasan. Okay, for echta b'sefer, that was the price. Now, obviously, there must be significance. What is the significance of the number 7? Of the number 7? Well, obviously, 7 represents teva. That represents shlemus. In the Bria, there are 7 days. There are 7 days, and 7 means that you gave the full value of the land, and it's capturing the concept of the number 7. It also says 10 and 10 silver coins. Biasara mamoros nivra ha'olam. So you have to take into account when you're dealing with creation of this world in time, it's 7, and in thought and speech, it's 10. That's the morale type of.
He didn't say that, but. How about something a little less esoteric? How about 7 times 10? 70.
So you want to say 7 times 10 is 7? Ah, very nice. 7 times 10 is 70. The combination of 7 shkolim and 10 coins, asara kesef, is 70. So 70 years is when it's going to come to fruition. Very nice. Okay, so everything is symbolic. You can't, when you read a word enough, you always look for the symbolism. Okay, next words in the Mitzvus Vechta Vechta B'Sefer Tzivisi Lichta B'Sefer B'Sefer Divri Kniyas HaSadeh. I commanded to write in the Sefer the words of the purchase. V'Karu Sefer Al Shem Soifai, and it's called that. Even though right now, when it was written, they did not yet put the text into the document. It's going to be called Sefer Al Shem Soifai. V'Chein V'Tachani Kemach. I want you to grind. Kemach. When you take the wheat, it's not yet called kemach. Why then is the pasuk called kemach? The pasuk refers to al shem soifai. For echtaim tzivisi lebal asod lachtam shema al sefer hamikneh. I commanded the bal asod to sign his name. Voed edim zimanti edim sheyu bedavar v'lefneim shakalti akesa b'moizne hamishkol. And in front of their eyes, I weighed the coins on the scale to make sure everything is 100% kehalach. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzvot David, Sefer HaMikneh, Shtar HaKinyin, Es HaChasum, Im HaChitum. So when it's according to the Mitzvot, I told you the Radak's interpretation that there were 3 stars, but according to the Mitzvot, it means very simple. It means the Sefer HaMikneh, Es HaChasum means Im HaChasum. The Sefer HaMikneh has been signed. Bal Hasad, it has been signed from the hand of the owner of the field. And the transaction was done according to the rules and regulations of the ancient times. What is that? There was another shtar. There was another shtar that was written according to the Mitzudos that says that everything was done publicly. It's like Ashrasa did the Dayane. We have that in Rashi. That in addition to writing the shtar, like the validation of the shtar, you have the shtar, and in addition to having the shtar, there's another shtar that was written that expresses that this shtar has been validated. Everything about this shtar is legal, and the court signs on the Ashrasa de Daini. So according to the parish of the Mitzudos, we have two documents, the Golui, the Chosum, is the Sefer HaMikneh with the signatures, that is done HaMitzvah HaChugim according to all the laws of the times, and when it says the Golui, that's what we call the Ashrasa de Daini, the validation document that was written up by the court to testify that everything over here was done kehalacha. Then it goes on to say that I took this sefer and I gave it to my student Baruch ben Neiria, a sefer HaMikneh, V'adin sefer HaGolui, ulekatzer zocha ikul levad. Over here I gave all the documents, but we were just being sure we're writing over here. I gave the sefer HaMikneh. So I gave it to Chanamel Dodi. I'm so sorry, this is for the transaction. I gave it to Chanamel Dodi, Yitochin shloy zocha bal asode ki hu hoya ben doidoi. Okay, so here it says, the Rebbe is coming to point out what happened. Well, it's not called Chanamel. Chanamel is not Dodi. It's Chanamel is the Ben Dodi. So he writes, he's talking Shlo Zehu Bal Hasadeh, Ki Hu Hoya Ben Dodo. In other words, one more time, he's talking Shlo Zehu Bal Hasadeh. This is not the Bal Hasadeh. Ki Hu Hoya Ben Dodo. There was another Chananel. What he seems to be saying is what we're going to see in Rashi. Rashi is going to say that there was another person here, there was another uncle called Chananel. There were two uncles. Uncle number one, his name was Shalom, and the second uncle's name was Chananel. So Chananel, the other uncle, came to watch. Now, this is what's important. When you make a transaction, you do not necessarily need to give the document to the person who is selling the transaction. You need, the other person can make the transaction on your behalf. So the one that's actually doing the transaction is Chananel, the son of Shalom. He's the one that's selling. So the one that's buying is Yirmiah. Yirmiah is writing a shtar. He's writing a shtar that I'm hereby acquiring your field. You give the shtar normally to the person that's selling it. But in this instance, he did not give it to the one that's selling it. He gave it to his uncle out of respect. Now, who is the other uncle? Shalom. But Shalom is not here today. So out of respect, he gave it to his father's brother. He will pick up the document on behalf of Chananel in order to conclude the acquisition. Because when you make transactions, the transaction must be made, but you do not need to make it yourself. You can appoint an agent to make it on your behalf. And if it's a ceremonial type of transaction, like by a wedding, you give out all of the kibbutzim, you give out all the brachas and all the kibbutzim, you give it out to all the different people assembled there. And really, all the brachas should be said by the chassan. But the chassan gives out the brachas to different people, to mechaber them. So it's the same thing when it comes to a transaction. The transaction over here is that is Chananel ben Shalom is giving his property to Yirmiah. The way this kinyan works is that Yirmiah is giving money, he gave him the money. In addition to giving money, he's writing a document that I gave you the money. And everything here was done chedas to chedin. And the way the transaction, without going into legal issues, because I don't know the legal issues, but the way the transaction works is that the seller picks up the documents. Almost like a kinyan sudar. It's like a kinyan sudar type of thing, not exactly. But the seller picks up the document, and that concludes the transaction. The one that in this instance should pick up the document should be Chananel ben Shalom. But for whatever reason, Chananel ben Shalom wants to be mechabed his uncle. Who is his uncle? His name also happens to be Chananel. So that's why here it says here, Chanamel Dodi Yitochin Shelo Zehu Bal Hasodeh. This Chanamel is not the same Chanamel, because the Bal Hasodeh Kihu Hoya Ben Dodo. So he gave it to him to be mechabed him with doing the transaction. Hakesuvim Heim Koytzvei Davar Hamachir B'Sefer B'Sefer B'Dvar Yirmiya Leene HaYehudim Kmo Leene VeHachoser Havav. The vav over here is missing in the pasuk.
You have to make one shliach to another shliach.
No, ein shliach oisah shlichuso. One shliach may not appoint a second. There's only one shlichus here. Chanamel is the one that's making the transaction, but he's appointing a single shliach, his uncle, whose name also happens to be Chanamel. It's one shlichus. No, he's the primary partner. He's the one that's selling the field. Chanamel is the base. So therefore, it's only one shlichus. Pasuk yudal v'yasen chasum v'im hachasim shabo unesatim udchasim unesatim es asfarim ha'ilah leman yamdu yamrabim ki klicheritz mishamer hadavar hanasim bo. Min Hare Kavon, the reason why he told him to put in the Klicheris is that it should last for a very long period of time. Now this is a very important pasuk, because from here we learn, the Gemara quotes this pasuk as teaching that if you have a Sefer Torah, Shabala, a Sefer Torah that is worn out and is no longer usable, so you should put it in a Klicheris. And indeed that's what they do today. When they bury Shemus today, regular paper, they just put it in the ground. But when they bury Sifrei Torah, they put Sifrei Torah in an earthenware utensil. Okay, it's done today as well. This is Shulchan Aruch. How do you know that you must put away in Geniza an old Sefer Torah, Kisvei Kodesh, in earthenware? From this pasuk, Unisatam b'chlicheres, because klicheres, a utensil, leman yamdu, yamim rabim. What more do you need to know? Then look at the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls, they all lasted for how many years? 2,000 years in a klicheres.
Under special conditions.
Under special conditions, of course. But it has to, that's what was the standard in times of society. Now there is another Mahalach in the Mamloes. He says the reason why it says you should put in Klicheris, he alludes, he doesn't need to spell it out, is he was giving them Musar. He was telling Klal Yisrael, it's going to be Liyamim Rabim. You're not coming back here so fast. And when else do you put something in the Klicheris? By a Sota. A Sota is given to drink the Mayim HaMe'orim in a Klicheris. And that is to bring out her infidelity. Her infidelity, she was unfaithful to her husband. So it's Klal Yisrael who were unfaithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they have to suffer the consequence of Golus. So we draw from different items that are found in the Torah to use and reference infidelity, and that's why he's giving them Musa. It's going to be a very long time. It's going to be in Klicheres Liyam Rab. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasik Yud Aleph. As Sefer Hamikne, Shtar Hamachira, take the Shtar Hamachira, as a Chosum, im Chasimoser, Keshu Chosum, Kedas, Vichoike, that's exactly what the Mitzudas David said. When it says Chasima, means it's one document with the signatures, Vyesa Goloi, Shuchuksak Bezin Alpi Adov, the Goloi, he's saying exactly what the Mitzudas David said. This is the Ashrosa the Dainid, it was a second document, which testified that the first document was done Kedas Suchadin, it was the validation of the court. Who signs the Ashrosa de Dainei? The judges, they signed the second document testifying that the document of acquisition was done Kedas Suchadin. Ashrosa de Dainei, Ashrosa means the validation of the judges. Who kim Ashtaris la sois adover golim forsim ben Yemuso, just in case the witnesses die, and there's no one that's going to be able to testify about the signatures of the witnesses. So you'll have another document which testifies that it's done, that the court document which will be accepted, that will testify the document was in Chedas Suchadin. Now here he's going into a Gemara which means that this refers to a way a get is written. Now that means very simply, we all know that Rahman Lusan, a person gets divorced, if it's a divorce. So if a Kohen gets divorced, it's a double tragedy. Because he cannot remarry, there's no din of machzer gerushos if a Kohen takes back his wife. So when the Bezdin writes a get for a Kohen, they have to stitch, they write two lines, and then they have to let it dry, and they have to fold it, and then they have to stitch it. Then they write another two lines, and then they have to fold it like this, and stitch it. And then they write another two lines. Then they fold it, and they stitch it. There are another two lines. It's wet ink. It takes a good 5-10 minutes for the ink to dry. Then you got to fold it, and then you got to stitch it. It's a very long, drawn-out process. It takes a very, very long time. Why did Chazal require this funny type of document for a kohen who gets divorced? Because there's no return. Once he divorces his wife, he cannot take his wife back. So they wanted a delay. They built in a delay tactic. Maybe in the process of writing this long, drawn-out get, the husband will change his mind and decide not to divorce his wife. So that is what this psukim mean according to the Gemara. Let me read you the Gemara. We'll stop here with the Rashi. We'll do the next Rashi tomorrow. It's very late because of Rosh Chodesh. Let me read you this Gemara and then we'll do the next Rashi tomorrow. This Gemara here says... What? Yes. They still do it. Okay, it says over here... This is a Gemara Masechta Bava Basra. In Bava Basra, Ve'ekach Sefer HaMikneh Zeh Poshut. The Sefer HaMikneh alludes to a simple get, a get that's written for a Yisrael where there are no stitches. Es HaChosum, a get that is Chosum, that is sealed. Zeh Mekusher. Okay, this is a get Mekusher for a Kohen, where it's tied. And then when it says the third expression, v'yes ha-goloi ze-poshut she-be-mukusher, which means part, I'm not really sure, I don't remember the Gemara, part of the get is exposed, the last lines of the get are opened. In other words, this get, the way it looks when it's over is like this. Part of it is exposed, and part of it is folded like an accordion. So the part that's folded is called the chasum, and the goloi... Sefer HaMikneh is Zeh Poshut. Then when it says Ves HaChasum Zeh Mekusher, that's the part that's folded. Ves HaGalui Zeh Poshut Shem Mekusher, that's the part that is exposed. Then when it says HaMitzvah VeHachukim Elu Dvarim Shebein Poshut LeMekusher, this refers to the laws, all of Joshua, the laws, there are different set of laws that apply to a get poshut and a get mekusher. For example, ze eidov shnayim, ve-ze eidov shalosh. A regular get has two witnesses. A get mekusher has three witnesses. Ze eidov mitoichai, a regular get, the witnesses sign on the bottom, ve-ze eidov me'achayrof, and a get mekusher, the witnesses sign above the folds. Okay, then the Me'ebach Anos, so the Me'ebach Anos, when they write one line, and then they fold it. The witness number one signs above the fold. They write the next line, they fold it. So there are going to be many folds on each fold, or another witness signs. So the Gemara interprets all of these halakas from this pasuk over here. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll pick this up again more tomorrow.